Welcome to the C and the J Radio Extravaganza.
I like that.
Well, that's what we are, an extravaganza, to say the least.
I'm telling you. By the way, welcome to the radio version of the C&J Wrestling Show. I am feeling much better, as you can hear by my voice. In fact, I'm feeling so much better, I think it's time to do that.
Very nice, very nice. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Actually, it is 5 o'clock at the moment.
Exactly. So, lots of talk. I'm sure that we're going to discuss the majority of it on our lawn form. So tune into that. But for now, we had two wrestling shows, three if you count Dark.
Yep.
And, today is Wednesday, by the way, the day after the Tuesday Night Dynamite, which you're going to be hearing this coming up on Tuesday, as you always usually do.
Yep.
Week behind. But we had something go down last night on Dynamite that a little bit of controversy, I think, in regards to that. At least from what I've been hearing today, what are your, well, I guess I should say what it is. And that's how the show ended, with Hangman apparently taking a bad bump and getting injured and being stretched out. What are your thoughts on that? Because some people, as always, are debating whether or not that was actually part of the show or not.
That's pretty stupid on fans' parts that think this was a work. I mean, there's a difference between like you know when something is a work and when something is questionable. But if it's a situation where the wrestler is laying in the ring, he's not making a ton of movement. And, you know, the wrestler, and then the other part is, too, the fact that they are shooting over to the announce table. And for majority of, you know, when Hangman was getting taken care of in the ring and not even showing what's happening in the ring, that usually signals that it's not a work for the most part. So any fan that actually thinks that this is a work, I mean, come on. Stop. I mean, this is a man that whose livelihood now is unfortunately at stake. You know, if it's not something he can come back from. I mean, it sounds like it was just a concussion, which, if that is the case, great. If it's anything more, you know, then it's really sad. I mean, people forget. I think a lot of people don't recall, or maybe it slips their mind, of Draz, when, you know, he got injured in the ring, and I think everything was just so scary at the time. Social media was kind of just starting to form, not even take an elevation, just start to form. And I think people forget, you know, about that sometimes, like, oh shit, something like this did happen before, to a worse extent. So that whole concept that people are actually seriously considering that this is a work is fucking mind boggling to me, man. I mean, come on, the guy's laying in the ring, you know. I don't know. I was reading some of it too, and I'm just like, there's one jerk off on one of the pages that literally was like, oh, well, I'm not believing anything until, like, listen, I said the same shit over the summer with MJF, but we're talking about a contract situation compared to someone's actual health. Like, grow the fuck up, you know, like, honestly, like, at some point as a wrestling fan, you're going to be considered a fucking child. And a lot of the guys that are the marks, or whatever the case you want to call them, are acting like pure fucking children. That they actually think that a situation like this is, or could be a work. I mean, and I give Mox credit for handling it the way he did in the ring, trying to, you know, calm the crowd down or just let the crowd know what's, you know, going on, what these guys do to themselves on a daily basis. I give MJF credit for coming out and improvising last minute. And then I give Tony Khan credit for initializing all that, you know, like to get these guys out there and get these guys to, you know, do something to ease the crowd over while they figure out what the hell's going on. You know, so I don't know, man. I just think that there's a lot of children in the internet wrestling community. A lot of fucking children. And it's unfortunate that we have to deal with these children sometimes. This is why I really do my absolute best to, if you noticed, ever, like, I don't tend to ever comment on any of these pages because I strictly just have them for, you know, news sources, because I just don't have the time or the energy to get into a bickering match with a fucking child on Facebook. I just don't. And that is usually where it leads. Cause like I said before, I'll say it again. Most of the people in the internet wrestling community is in fact children. So take it for what it is, but that's where I'm at here.
Well, it's interesting that you have that take on that, my friend. I must say this. I don't disagree with you that and this goes based on anything. Like, if you are way too about something or one way or the other without necessarily any type of substance or merit, you're just doing it for the sake of, you know, thinking that you're cool going against the grain. I get it. That's annoying as fuck. Those are the people that are what you described as children that don't have, you know, they just don't care. They just want to be different. I get that. I get wanting to be different, but like you said, somebody's livelihood's at stake. So here's my take on it, though. So based on all of that, I'm not going to sit here and say it was a work. I'm not going to sit here and say it was real. I will say this. I watched it over again, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, just to see the landing, because that's what it was. It wasn't the clothesline, obviously. It was the way he landed. He did the little spinny thing and whatever. And okay, maybe, possibly, could have knocked the wind out of him, something like that, whatever. Didn't look too horribly bad to me. That's just my opinion. Now, there's other things that happened too besides just looking at it that make me question whether or not it actually was part of the story or not. Because, okay, yeah, not showing him, that's one thing. But to me, it seemed like they were trying almost too hard, especially Taz, to make it feel like it was real. Now, not only that, but if you noticed and remember, they did show MJF in the skybox with the chip, and then they panned to it, and he was gone. And that's when the match was still happening. I believe, regardless if it was real or not, I think he was still supposed to come out at the end and have that little thing with Mox. Now, so I don't think it was as ad-libbed as we think it was. Now, I don't know, man. I've seen way worse bumps that people have taken that have actually, you know, been injured. I mean, the draws you brought up earlier, that bump was scary as shit. I mean, he landed square on his neck, if you remember.
Oh, it was brutal. It was sad because, like, well, and then Jay, if you look at it in real time, it does look like in real time, it doesn't look that bad. If you go back and you slow it down and you look at the bump, it does look pretty bad that he landed in an awkward position. So it's hard to say, but I don't know.
Well, the one thing I'll say is this: in the 3 years of AEW's existence, the one thing I've learned about Tony Khan is that he has to keep with the times, so to speak. And concussions are a thing right now in the NFL, and his family owns an NFL team.
I don't think, yeah, but that's...
If it was Vince, I think he would maybe do it. If it was H, I don't think he'd do it. Tony Khan, I don't know. Privately owned versus publicly traded. He likes to blur that line a lot. So I didn't help in the ratings, obviously, because if you saw those, they lost to, I think they beat NXT, not by much. The ratings were still down. I mean, obviously, we had the NBA starting last night, MLB playoffs, hockey's going on. So this time of year for wrestling isn't the best as far as ratings historically. Even during the Monday Night Wars, it wasn't that great.
But, I mean, you forget too that we, I mean, WWE actually kind of went through this not too long ago with Big E. Like,
yeah.
And he's hasn't returned yet. They don't even know if he is going to return.
Yeah. You know?
So,
but that also looked a lot more. I mean, he literally landed on the top of his head. So, I mean,
it was brutal by all means.
I'll compare it to Tua with the Dolphins with the NFL. So the first hit he took where they said he didn't get a concussion, but it, obviously, you know, we probably think he did at this point. That hit looked a lot worse to me than the second one that he took. And Paige falling down the way he did, taking that bump the way he did last night, I compare it more to the second one of Tua, because it didn't necessarily look that bad. But that's the one that also concussed Tua. So who knows? Maybe it's legit. Regardless, he's out of the hospital. He's good. You know, he's going to be off for a while. And, you know, it is what it is. But there's one other thing in regards to last night's show that I do want to touch upon. I don't want to go through the whole thing because we'll do that for him. But did you have anything else on the Heyman thing before I
move no, on? No, okay. No. That's fine.
All right. So I'm just going to say this. Just when you think he can't get any better, he does. And I'm talking about the devil himself, Mr. Maxwell Jacob Freeman. That promo last night, dude, and of course Regal helped too, because he was amazing as well. But the guy, I don't know, man. He's evolving. And you said that, I think on the show last week, that you said he's becoming their Rock. And in a sense, he is. Like, he's got the crowd in the palm of his fucking hand right now. And he's playing up to him. It reminds me a lot, and I think I said this too when he first came back, it reminds me a lot of when The Rock first turned babyface before he went full-blown heel. But I think it's going longer than that did. But I could be wrong. I think they're maybe fast-forwarding it a little bit. But I also think you're onto something with The Firm costing him the title at Full Gear.
Yeah, because I think they're going to go to a similar situation like this. I'm going to use John Cena as an example here on something. I don't have the exact dates down in my head here or anything like that, but I'm going kind of old school here with Cena. But I remember a time, I want to say it was maybe in 2006-ish, roughly. I remember when he was in the period of where it was like everybody hated Cena. Everybody wanted him either gone. Just everybody hated Cena, plain and simple.
Yeah.
And
you think you're right about 06.
There was a moment, if I recall, or not a moment, but there was a point where I believe Kurt Angle came up with something along the lines of, like, why have John be like Super John and beat everybody, and why not have him actually chase the title and get the fans behind him? It was something along those lines. Like I said, I don't remember the exact context of this. But it was one of those situations where Angle was like, basically make Cena struggle to win the title, so then when he does win the title, it's more meaningful than just handing it over to him, you know, like they were doing all the time. The reason I say this is because I think that's a route they should consider with MJF. Like at this point right now, everybody kind of expects MJF to beat Moxley at Full Gear. Like, we just expect it. But what if the unexpected happens and he doesn't beat him? You know, what if Moxley actually beats him clean? What if the firm does fuck him? You know, like, what if the second, you know, what if, you know, it's a draw? You know, what if something along those lines happened where the first one or two times that it is unsuccessful, but it's building up enough momentum that the fans are behind him and they want to see him win. That when the time does come, it's even bigger than, you know, it would be at Full Gear. You know, like you're building something. You're not just giving something that's expected. It's similar to when Thunder Rosa won the title against Britt Baker. It was just so like fucking obvious that to me it wasn't really meaningful, because it was just like, oh, she won. Well, no shit, she won. You know, like, yeah. It wasn't important to me. So I would like them see them. I would absolutely 100% like to see the firm cost MJF the title. 100%. And if I'm Tony Khan after that, I have MJF go through the firm. Or not go through the firm, but realign himself with the fucking Pinnacle.
Yeah.
You know? And go against the firm. I mean, now the Pinnacle is reformed completely. You have everybody now. You have FTR. You have Spears. You have Wardlow. Like, you have the fucking Pinnacle now. And who's, and obviously Wardlow and MJF have a history. But, you know, if I'm MJF, I go up to Wardlow and I basically make this kind of phrase. I know we have beef between us, you know, and obviously this will be after word, you know, worded differently, but I know we got beef between us, but stand by my side for this battle. And when I do win that title, you're my first opponent, you know, something along those lines as a respect thing, you know, like I didn't respect you for all those years, but I respect you to give you the first shot. You know, like something along those lines. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's to the point right now, Jay, that MJF, I'm going to just say it on here. People are going to be like, MJF is a face at this point. He is. I don't even, he's getting cheered in the ring over fucking William Regal, who's like God right now in wrestling. Like, come on. You know, like there's no coming back right now. And you know, in Jersey, where Mox, see, it's funny because Jersey, Max is from New York, but Mox is also has a cult following in Jersey, really because of GCW. I'm really curious to hear what those fans are going to be like. I unfortunately won't be there this time, but I would dying to hear what the fans' reaction would be. My guess is it's going to be a lot of let's go MJF, you know, fuck you Mox, or let's go, you know, something like along those lines.
Is this your first pay-per-view you're missing since the pandemic started from AEW?
Since the...
Because I know you didn't go to Jacksonville for any of the ones they had there.
Was the first live one back All Out?
I believe so.
Because it wasn't Double or Nothing, right?
Nope, they were still in Jacksonville for that.
If you're not counting Ring of Honor, then yes.
Interesting. Yeah, I won't be there either. I wish I was, because this is... They got me hooked on it. They got me incredibly hooked on it. And the way that show ended after the Heyman stuff with Max, with him, like, man, like, that was a babyface promo. That was a hardcore babyface promo. So,
and don't get me wrong, like, I don't know what Full Gear is going to look like, but I'm not excited in any way, shape, or form for the rest of the card, but that match, 150%. The rest of the card, I couldn't fucking tell you what it's going to be at this point. So, I mean, I got an idea maybe on one or two matches, but the only one that seems of substance is the championship match. So,
now I'm going to ask you another question in regards to this too. Somebody else brought this to my attention, and I'm thinking it could be a possibility, but do you think we could see a double turn at Full Gear?
On what?
Mox and MJF.
Like teaming together?
Mm-mm. Turn. As in MJF, babyface, Mox,
I could see it, because it does seem like there is a little dissension, not necessarily in the Blackpool Combat Club, but there is a lot of, like, Wheeler Yuta was questioning Danielson's, you know, hard, you know, care towards Garcia. Mox has been kind of, if you think about it, Mox has been kind of, really hasn't done much with Danielson at all. Mm-mm. And Wheeler Yuta and Claudio seem to be kind of like buddy-buddy with this whole thing. So I don't know. It would be interesting if they had Mox turn and join the firm.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if that's something that, I don't know. I don't know. Like, another scenario I could see happening is that maybe there's somebody else in the firm that, you know, maybe he hired, like, you know, that he hired to take out MJF. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Someone else hires the firm to take out MJF that's not Moxley. A la Mr. Phil Brooks.
I mean, it would be a very interesting situation for CM Punk to return and join forces with the firm.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would be on, like, nuclear heat at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people already...
He's not going to anytime soon, but still...
He doesn't need to.
No.
But for him to return and be on, like, a situation where he is literally, like, at this point, people, especially the internet wrestling community, they are fucking beyond annoyed with fucking CM Punk right now. Mm-hmm. So for him to come back, cost their man, MJF, in a match against their other man, Mox, and then align forces with the firm who fucks them, And on top of it, realize that he can't even wrestle right now for MJF to get revenge on him. I mean, that's nuclear fucking heat. Mm-hmm. If I've ever heard some. So
be a great way to bring them back.
It would. It would. I mean, I honestly, any of them would be, even if it's Kenny that did it. I mean, Punk would be the one that gets the nuclear heat. But even like Kenny coming back and costing MJF would be kind of like, wait, what the fuck? You know, kind of like it would be interesting. All I know is I don't see him winning because it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, like and trust me, this, I want MJF to win 100%, but it doesn't make sense right at this moment. It just doesn't.
I think you gotta wait a bit longer because if they're still pushing this 2024 deal, and I mean, grand, okay, that's part of like him being like still a heel or a tweener, whatever you want to call it. But I don't know. I think that sometime in 2023, probably before Double or Nothing, I'd say, would be the right time for him to win that belt and have him carry it from, you know, whenever he wins it into Double or Nothing, into All Out, into Full Gear, to Winter is Coming next year.
And see, I would hold it off until I would personally have him. And I'm sorry if you said this, I just must have slipped my mind or not heard you on this. I would have him win it at All Out next year. Am I honest?
Yeah, or you could wait all the way till then too. I mean, it depends though. It depends on how long you can keep him, you know, fighting other people, like having his focus be away from that belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an interesting. They got me hooked. I'll say that. TK, you did a good job. Punk was. Actually, in the video package for the Ring of Honor champions last night as well, and the Elite was mentioned as well. So, first time since you know everything happened that those two things happened. So, you know, who knows? Maybe we're getting a return sometime soon from both the Elite and Punk.
It's possible, but I mean. Until then, we just kind of sit back and wait, and yeah.
Very true. Very true. So, yeah, we'll get more in Dynamite on the Long Form show, and I did want to talk a little Impact and ROH as well. I will do that in the Long Form, but I did have a couple of WWE topics I'd like to bring up before we get out of here, because we do have, you know, half a show left. Do you have any other things you want to talk about AEW wise before we move on?
I guess, I mean, it's real quick. I didn't really think that, I wasn't a huge, huge, huge fan of, like the show in general yesterday.
Really? Interesting. See, I thought of the three major shows of the week so far, it was the best. I thought it was better than Raw and better than NXT. But I did enjoy parts of both Raw and NXT.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't really... Granted, and like I said, I was very much so kind of stuck in the whole... NBA's on, MLB's on. There's just a ton of shit going on, so I was kind of, I was like hopping back and forth between everything, and it was just kind of like,
and technically we were on too, but you know,
yeah, no, honestly, and that's another thing. You know, we were on as well, so like, there was just a lot going on, so it was just kind of like difficult for me to like stick to
focus.
Yeah, so I mean, it is what it is, but. It was just a very, like, I was just very much busy with a lot of shit sports wise yesterday, and it was so hard to just keep my attention on one thing. So I watched most of it thoroughly, but I did miss also, I mean, I did miss a lot of it. Like, there was just a lot of, like, I tried watching the Dalton Castle Jericho match, and I wasn't getting into it.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
I'm not a big Dalton Castle fan.
Oh, and I am.
No, I know you are. And I'll say one thing about the whole situation right now with AEW, and you're gonna be like, interesting, probably, but I'm like, I don't want to say I'm turned off by AEW right now, but I kind of am by, like, the Ring of Honor aspect to it. Like, I don't care about Ring of Honor. Like, I mean, yeah. No disrespect to Ring of Honor's history, everything like that, but, like, I'm just kind of like, I don't give a fuck about Ring of Honor. And I feel like half of the show for the last couple weeks, or really since All Out, has been, like, a Ring of Honor show. Like, there's, like, yeah. Whether it's the Gates of Agony or Dalton Castle or the Ring of Honor, like, we're dealing with the Ring of Honor fucking pure title and the championship and the TV. Am I watching AEW or fucking Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
You know, well, like, I'm sick of it, and I get it, like, but has anybody seen fucking Jade Cargill? Has anybody seen, now granted, Hook, I mean, he's not, he wasn't holding a real fucking title for the longest time. But, like, you know, or not, you know, like, he's, I mean, he's carrying the FTW title, which is, you know, fucking ECW. Mm-hmm. But, like, Wardlow's a TV champion, a TNT champion. He hasn't even defended the fucking title.
No. Well, Jade was on last night backstage briefly.
But you know what I'm saying? I just, yeah. Like, I want to watch AEW guys. Like, a part of me cannot wait until Ring of Honor is their own thing, hopefully, and they actually do it to where it's, like, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, where, like, I don't have to see the Ring of Honor guys because I just don't fucking care about them. Like,
yeah, well, I'm not gonna say interesting that you feel that way because I know lots of people feel that way, and I'm telling you, it's not that I feel that way that I don't want to see them, but at the same time, dating back to when he first announced that he bought the fucking company, this is what I was talking about, like. The fact that they don't have their own show yet, and we just get to, you know, have his guys have the belt now just so it's relevant, and then some people have some other belts, and they're kind of here, and we don't know what's going on, and it's just, it's like he didn't learn, and I said this on the show several times before, but it's like he didn't learn from when Vince bought WCW. I get it. It was a different time and things like that. But at the same time, it's like you don't have to necessarily announce the company if you're not going to have a TV outlet for it. And you're just going to use your shows for that? I mean,
well, it's kind of like, you know, Jay, it's similar to, and this is why I was very, very, very happy that Orange Cassidy won the All Atlantic title. Because it felt super meaningful to me that he actually won an AEW title after all the years. And it's kind of like when Garcia won the pure title. I mean, I was happy for Garcia, but then on the other hand, I was like, you know, like, okay, yeah. Fine. He won this title. He hasn't won anything in AEW, though. And they got Jericho walking around with the championship and, you know, Samoa Joe has a TV title, which I feel like he never really ever defends. And on top of it, you got Jay Lethal, just who's basically who is a Ring of Honor guy who's walking around like, I don't know, attacking fucking Darby. It's just like they're doing their best to like really get these Ring of Honor guys on television, and that's fine, but I feel like it's taking away from the AEW roster.
Yeah.
You know, well, like,
the only reason that they're doing it heavily now is the same reason Jericho got the belt, is because they're trying to push for a TV deal. And they're trying to showcase it. I get that. And yeah, and that's kind of why I'm okay with it to a point, because I know that it is coming to an end soon. It's not like a long-term thing. Like, if they were doing this and there was still no TV deal imminent or anything, then I'd be more kind of pissed. But, I mean, I have been pissed pretty much since he bought the company.
Well, and it's funny you say that, but this is more reasoning why I think this was a work with everything in September. Because now I say to myself, well, what was there for Punk or any of those guys to do right now?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I know there's reports now that Ace Steel was fired. Well, was he fired because of the situation or because there's nothing else to do? Like, if all the reports are true that MJF was originally supposed to win the title from CM Punk at All Out. Now, if this is all true, this is more reasoning why I think it's a work. Because more than likely is MJF would have won the title at All Out and CM Punk would have disappeared for a couple months. You know, like, to me, that is what makes sense. It's, to me, it's similar to, and the Ace Steel thing is similar to me, to similar to the Bobby Fish situation. Like, oh, hey, Bobby, yeah, we know, we love you, but you're not Kyle O'Reilly and you're definitely not Adam Cole. So we don't have really anything for you to do at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of, what is Ace Steel going to do without CM Punk in the company right now?
Yeah.
You know, true. So I don't know. I don't know, man.
And if you think about it, he was never even shown on TV until this whole angle started with MJF.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. Exactly.
But the last thing I'm going to say in regards to the Ring of Honor thing, then we got to move on, is the one title that you haven't seen at all is the women's title. And A, I think that's because he's got something in the works with Maria Kanellis now. But also because Mercedes has been hurt. So,
yep.
That is what it is. But yeah, we got more on that in the launch form. So, you know, check us out if you want to hear more on that. But I got two things in WWE I want to talk about. First,
all right.
Did you watch Raw?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. What are your opinions on Dominic Mysterio on the mic right now?
I think he's grown immensely.
And I agree.
And I think he's by far a better heel than a face.
I agree. People saying that he's bad at both. I'm like, no, go back and watch him talk as a babyface, and go back and watch him talk as a. Does he still kind of stutter and do, like, you know, kind of weird stuff or whatever? Yeah, but guess what? He's supposed to do that kind of stuff, and he does it well.
He's like and I think I said this on the last show, or maybe it was on the long form. He reminds me of, like, just a Weasley fucking wheel. Weasel, like, he's just like a, you know, he's like a little weasel of a heel. He really is. He's like somebody you want to just fucking, he just that greasy fucking heel that you just, like, slips away from all the fucking, you know, punishment, and just, that's what he reminds me of. And it just, like, and also another thing people got to understand here too is he's 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not everybody is going to be MJF. Like, no. Austin Theory is, what, 24 or something like that? And he's not even, like, I wouldn't even say he's that great on the fucking mic. I mean, he's better than Mysterio, but, I mean, how much more better is he? I don't know. I wouldn't say that much better. I could be, maybe I'm wrong, to each their own, but.
I think he's better than Ray's talking skills have never been his strong suit. Even when he was unmasked and part of the Filthy Animals, I think that's when he showed the most as far as talking goes. But even then, it was very
awkward.
Awkward and few and far between.
Like, awkward as fuck.
It was the others in that group that did most of the talking. He was just kind of, you know, he say something here and there, or, you know, that's about it. But
speaking of Ray, because now you kind of clicked something with me here, and now and I need you to kind of refresh my memory on this, because you might know this better than me. Mm-hmm. Was Eddie Guerrero a good talker before he became a heel?
As a babyface in WCW?
Because I would say no. I think when he came to WWE and he became a heel, because I don't even think he was that good with the Radicals. He had moments where he showed, potential. And that's kind of where I think Dominic has. I think he shows potential. But when he became, like, you know, Viva La Raza and all that, and, you know, all Latino that shit, heat. Like Latino heat, like, mm-hmm. that's when you saw the heel out of him, and his mic skills were just, he was on point.
Yeah, I think that he didn't get that much of an opportunity in WC case much, especially as a babyface. But when he turned heel and he did the LWO and all that stuff, you know, I mean, I think he was better as a heel, obviously, which is kind of funny because, and it's funny that we say that about Dom now, because another friend of mine, I made a comment about that, and he goes, yeah, just like his poppy, Eddie Guerrero.
But see, the other shitty part about this whole situation is like, I feel bad for Dom on so many levels because he has to live up to the expectations of arguably the greatest, like, lucha wrestler in wrestling, like, you know, in WWE, WCW history. Like, I mean, and he's got to live up to that, you know? So that's something.
In a sense, which is why him as a babyface starting out, okay, I get why they did it that way, because you got to establish him. But to actually have him grow as a performer and be somebody else,
he needed to be away from his dad.
Totally, 100%. It's why Dustin became Goldust.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a different situation, obviously, but still, from a, you know, trying to be your own person, you know, standpoint. And Cody was just different because, you know, but Dustin already was Goldust, so Dusty had already been retired for however many years when Cody finally got in the... I mean, granted, Dusty had one match still, I think, with Cody, but... I really... the thing, and I think I said this in our group chat, shout out to the group chat, but I think the one thing that I really didn't care for the most in that entire segment was the fact that the OC, or I should say the Good Brothers, were the only two people that didn't get a mic time to talk, even for a second.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and granted, okay, they did some backstage stuff on Raw. They did get to talk backstage a little bit on NXT this week. That's kind of cool. I guess there's reports going around now that Anderson's not going to be at the New Japan show because he's doing Crown Jewel instead. You know, I mean, obviously he couldn't do both because of logistics. Granted,
well, he could, but he would literally be like,
it'd be impossible.
It would be virtually impossible. I should say
he would need TK's private jet.
No, he would, but they did acknowledge him though as the New Japan champion.
Oh, they did. I didn't.
Yeah.
Hear that.
No, nice. They did. They did acknowledge him. So
that's nice. That's very nice. Well, then I hope they don't. They be in New Japan, pronounced Bell. I hope they don't strip him of that belt because I would like to see him defend that against Hikuleo and get Tama get his rematch. I ultimately, that's what I would like to see happen at Wrestle Kingdom. Tama beating Carl Anderson for that belt, and then, you know, go back to being whatever. But I like seeing the Good Brothers there, but at the same time, it's also, I feel kind of like, you know, it is what it is, but we'll see.
Big fan of Gallows' outfit.
Yeah, he always wears that though in WWE.
I know, it's just awkward though.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of it either.
Like,
I miss hearing what was the name of the song that they had in Impact?
Oh, Oh, crap.
It's on your six or something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And
yeah, I like that song.
I just want to, I'm kind of sad that we won't see any of their, I know we haven't seen that. We haven't seen part three, but. The fucking, I can't think of the name of it now. What the hell?
I can't remember the name of it. I know what you're talking about. Fuck you, buddy.
Yeah. They're like little, like, fight TV segments or whatever, fucking pay-per-views. It was great.
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious.
That last one had, I mean, I think me and you were dying on the last one.
Oh, we were.
The second one was like.
And I got you into those. You didn't, I don't think you wanted to see them.
No, I know you. I did it and I watched the first one and I was like, what the hell is this? But it was entertaining. And the second one was just off the fucking wall. I was like, this is like the it's funny because it's literally the stupidest shit ever. But it's hilarious. Like it is as dumb as you can possibly get. But it is hilarious.
Oh yeah. Let me see. I can look that up because I'm just curious. Because now you got me. Because I forgot the name of it myself too.
I know it's on the tip of my fucking tongue too.
Is it Talking Shop?
Oh yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, Talking Shop-a-mania. That's right.
Talking Shop-a-mania. Yep, that's a whole that's it.
The Boner Yard match.
God, that was fucking.
Oh, that was hilarious. I loved it. Well, speaking of bringing up Crown Jewel, the second topic I wanted to talk about is, in fact, Crown Jewel. So, historically, I have not cared about this event at all, ever. I've watched them on mostly on tape delay.
I don't think I've actually seen a full one.
Oh, I've seen them all.
I don't think I've actually seen. I don't think I've seen a full one.
I've seen them all. I had to for the HBK's last match, which he should never have had. But that's besides the point. I think he agrees. However. Two matches announced so far for this show? Three, actually, now, right? I think.
Yeah, three.
And I'm interested in seeing this show on just these three matches alone.
Well, it's three good matches they got booked right now.
They are. And you know, obviously, the six man, Roman. And Logan, you know, say what you will about the guy. We've talked about him on here before. He is impressive in that ring. I'm looking forward to seeing what he and Roman can do together to make some magic happen. Now, the third match is going to throw you for a loop here with me, because you know about both these guys. You know what I said last week when Brock came back? I'm like, why? And you're like, Crown Jewel. I'm like, okay, I get it. I will say this. They basically did the same exact stuff they always do with this sort of thing. However, they made it look good. And not only did they make it look good, people around them made it look good. The fact that Shelton and Cedric were both there. Granted, you know, you didn't get to hear much and it really wasn't. But it's little things. It's little tiny details that make you go, yeah, that's cool. I like to see that. That makes sense. Truth be told, I thought Cedric was fucking Xavier Woods for a second. The way he was, the outfit he had on, it looked very, very New Day-ish. And I'm like, what's Woods doing there? I'm like, oh, wait, that's Cedric.
Right, yeah, I agree.
I saw him and I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, no, that's not Woods. But it made sense, you know, it made, and the fact that they basically the dominant one this time made even more sense. I mean, like they did more, I think, on Raw in that segment with these two for this match than they did the entire time pushing that Rumble match back in January. Including the Rumble match in January. Granted, the match itself was all about Roman and Brock, but still, you know what I mean. As far as storytelling goes and making you actually care about wanting to see it, of course, different regime in charge back then, but still, great job. What'd you think?
Yeah, it's hard for me to understand why Crown Jewel exists in the position. My biggest issue with Crown Jewel is that it's in between now and Survivor Series. And the reason I have that issue is because this is a big Survivor Series, being it's War Games. And they made the decision to cancel day one.
I was going to bring that up as well.
Which now gives them basically almost a two-month advantage from Survivor Series to Rumble to build shit. But I don't think the Rumble needs that build. Survivor Series does. And especially if you're building a situation like War Games. Like, you're building something for that War Games to take place. So, if this was the case, I wish they would have moved Crown Jewel maybe to December. If that was the case, and I would have, but I guess, it is what it is. They did how they did things. I am not against it any way, shape, or form them canceling some shows, canceling gimmick shows. Mm-hmm. Obviously not the Rumble, of course, because it's a staple. But but I don't necessarily think that international shows is something that, I mean, two a year or whatever, like the Crown Jewel, and then what's the other one? There's two.
I thought they were both called Crown Jewel. I could be wrong though.
I think it's God damn, what is it? The WWE's. It was Crown Jewel, and there was another one. Hold on. I gotta look. But anyway, I wish that they would have more build for these events. Clash of the Castle was. That was added this year. I just wish they would have more, build. And so, that's why I'm kind of, I'm okay with it. Because I hope that they're going to start doing a situation where they are going to just kind of build shit. But Crown Jewel's on November 5th. And Survivor Series is literally 3 weeks later. And I just don't think that gives them the build that I would, I would want to see, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. And I'm kind of okay with it, and this is why. With H in charge now, they do only have, so many allotted hours on TV to do stuff with. But if you noticed, they're kind of building some storylines separate from matches happening on these shows. They did that with Clash of the Castle.
Oh, I think it's called, apparently it's Super Showdown, I guess. Maybe that was the one.
Yeah, Super Showdown, Greatest Royal Rumble, and the Elimination Chamber was there too last year. Okay. February.
All right.
But I don't think it's necessarily that they need that build for the Rumble. I think they're doing it more so just to give people a break. And especially because it's the holidays and whatnot, and there's other UFC. And just, after Survivor Series, give it a rest, let it chill, let it breathe. And I'm okay with that. Whole month of December, you can do whatever you want going into, January.
I mean, UFC's no better. I mean, UFC has a pay-per-view this weekend, and they have one two weeks later, 3 weeks later.
Yeah, that's another animal though. But as far as, you don't necessarily just have to build everything for Crown Jewel right now. You can start planting seeds for things for Survivor Series, which I think they've been doing. But, obviously you can't start announcing stuff and really going full throttle towards it till after Crown Jewel's done. But at the same time, you know, you don't necessarily have to wait till it's done to start putting the ball in motion, is what I'm saying. And Vince never did that. H is doing that. And I had noticed it, and I like it. And less is more. But when you have too many in one spot, then, yeah, you got to, you know, do exactly what I said you got to do. Man, yeah, these three matches, though, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I'm not going to probably watch it live, but I will definitely be watching it. I do want to watch the New Japan show, but of course I have to get caught up on that, which I'm probably going to skip the G1 again, like I did last year. And it's the same fucking guy as last year, and I don't want to see him beat Jay White for that title, but he probably will.
Because oh, 100%.
The goddamn fucking John Cena of New Japan.
100%.
You want to say Tanahashi is? So, yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's Okada.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I don't know. I'm interested in seeing it. Bobby and Brock, you know, it's... I think it will be a much better match than their Rumble match from January. And mostly because they don't have the, you know, Roman Reigns factor that they did.
Yeah, no.
And I'm sure they're going to announce more matches for it because we still got some time. Granted, we have Halloween Havoc this Saturday with NXT, which, again, we'll talk long form about NXT because there's some things I want to talk about in regards to the pay-per-view and basically that show in general. And, you know, it's definitely improved. You can definitely see that. It's not there yet, but it's getting there. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. I would never in a million years ever thought you would ever hear me say, I am looking forward to a Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley match. But here it is. Jay is looking forward to it, man. I really am. I really, really am. But
all right. Well, I think that's all we got for this episode.
Yeah, time to do some selfish plugs and whatnot. We got some time for that, right?
Yeah. Just a shout out as usual to the Badass Radio Network and Evan J. Thomas. You can do your little plug action here if you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Evan J. Thomas, Badass Radio. Thank you for having us as always. Stay tuned to Rockways with Jay coming up next. And I know you missed it last week and the week before. So guess what? You don't get one this week.
That's okay, because I actually don't. I have no requests this week, so that's okay.
All right. Yeah. C's denied. but yeah, there was a song played by... Or actually, I don't know if it was for you, but it was the song that you requested... in the group chat, I believe, but it wasn't you. It was this guy named Christian from Schaumburg. I don't know who he is.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Like that Marty from Crystal Lake. Who the hell is he?
Yeah, that fucking guy.
Right, that fucking guy is right. Next thing we know, we're gonna get Adam from, where does he live?
I think he's in Crystal Lake, maybe.
Is he really too? Holy shit! Hey, whoever that guy is, though, we'll get requests from him and Brian from.
Lake in the Hills.
Oh, there we go. Everybody lives out that way for some reason.
I have, I like, all my friends live out there.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. But, crazy.
Well, I got a bunch of Steves from Arlington Heights and Roselle, so what does that tell you?
But all right, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you next week for more wrestling gossip.
Yeah, take care, and check us out on the Lawn Form on our Facebook page, CNJ Wrestling Show. Facebook, and we will catch you next week.
All right, bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.